Well, good day. I pray that you've enjoyed the rain this week and the sunshine is back. So thankful in all things. We are in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 6 and 7. We continue in the series Living in the Real World. And the title of today's meditation is Does Anyone Care? Does anyone care? Do you experience some anxiety? Is there anyone here that does not experience anxiety? I doubt it. You might be saying, hey, the school year is ending. I have so many final exams to take, so many projects to complete. I'm just under so much pressure. One of the things that our students sent our way was just the question, how do we deal with stress? How do we deal with anxiety? Or you might be a parent saying, we're just having a really hard time making ends meet. Do you know how many bills we have to pay this month? You may be looking at the world around you and saying, have you noticed the climate change? Or there's just no moral compass. Look at the opioid crisis. Or maybe you say, I'm just not feeling that well. And doctors aren't sure what it is. Maybe you are a parent and you're working and your kids are struggling. And you ask, how can I help but be anxious? I find relationships just so complex. Anxiety. What is it? The word anxiety, it can describe an intentness. So there's a positive side to it. There's a positive kind of anxiety that leads one to prepare for a job interview, for example. It leads one to prepare properly for an exam. Kind of gets you to address an issue. But in our passage today, the word that Peter uses, he refers to a negative form of anxiety. It refers to an anxiety that is just this stress-filled response to an unknown outcome. Those uneasy feelings, often accompanied by nervous behavior, and so you pace back and forth. You're restless. There's muscular tension, sometimes fatigue, problems in concentration, sleeplessness. It's the kind of anxiety that Peter talks about in our text. I have found that thoughts kind of loop around in my brain. Sometimes they sit at the back just rolling around and then they loop to the front and they sit there for a while. I'm conscious of my anxiety. I focus on it and then it loops back and it just kind of sits there. It keeps looping all day long. And then at night I wake up. So in these moments of life filled with anxiety, you know, it's just so easy to ask, well, where is God? What did I do to deserve this? How am I supposed to handle it? Based on today's passage, those are actually the wrong questions. What do the scriptures say? Well, look at 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Peter writes, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, Peter writes. He's referring back to the previous verse. In verse 5 of chapter 5, he says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. He lines up against the proud. Therefore, Peter writes, humble yourselves. You might immediately react to those words and say, well, I really don't want to humble myself. What I want is a solution to my problems. That's what I want. Well, you can choose to not humble yourself before God, but you will humble yourself before someone or something. It may be yourself. It may be another person. It may be an idol. It may be an entity. You will humble yourself before someone or something. So the invitation is, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. That phrase, it emphasizes God's power to save, to deliver. Very common in the scriptures. Where do we find it? We find it most often in the book of Exodus, when the book of Exodus talks about God's mighty hand to save the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. He did for them what they couldn't do for themselves. Now, the people that Peter is writing to in Asia Minor, the churches that he writes to, they're suffering from stress and anxiety. They're suffering from loss of friends, loss of family, loss of status, loss of income, loss of security. And just as the mighty hand of God was present to save and deliver the people of Israel from Egypt, so the same Lord, the same God, can carry the churches in Asia Minor through all that they suffer, as they humble themselves before God Almighty. Just as the Lord acted powerfully on behalf of Israel in Egypt, the Lord is present to act powerfully on our behalf in Vancouver. Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in the Lord, and he will act. In fact, God just lavishes his favor on those who humble themselves. In what way, you might ask? Well, just keep listening. What's the purpose of humbling ourselves? Well, it's right in our text, so that he may exalt you, lift you up at the proper time. In God's timing, we will be lifted up. For certain, on the day of Christ's return, and Peter has talked so much about this. For example, in chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse 13, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So we will be lifted up if we're following Jesus. We will be lifted up on the last day, on the day of Christ's return, but also each day as we humble ourselves before God, we are lifted up in the Spirit, we are strengthened, and we are sustained by him. A few weeks ago, I was worrying about one of my children. If you are a parent, do you worry about your kids sometimes? I was thinking about one of my daughters who was going through some really hard things. One person has said that having children is like having your heart outside of your body. It's just kind of out there. You'd love to pull it back in, but it always stays out there. So I was thinking that what she was going through was so complex, so impossible to resolve. I was running through a park, actually Queen's Park in New Westminster, and suddenly the Lord gave me this thought. This is actually an easy one. And I thought, an easy one? You know, the Lord doesn't ask anyone to do what he or she can't do. He doesn't ask us to make the sun rise. He doesn't ask us to make it rain. He doesn't ask us to make the trees grow. God asks us to do things that we can do. He asks us to humble ourselves. Every human being can do that. In fact, we were created to do it. We were created to bow down and worship. All we have to do is lay down our pride. Easy, right? You see, when we worship the Lord God Almighty here today in spirit and in truth, it's an act of surrender. We're just giving everything to God. As we worship, we don't forget what is happening in our lives. We remember our real life struggles, but we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand because he can deliver us. Because he can help us, because he can save us, because he can heal us. What did you and I do with our anxieties this week? Did they just stay there in our minds, looping around? What did we do with them? What should we do with them? Verse 7, it shows us how to humble ourselves before God. Peter writes, Verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The word used for casting there, it means that in desperation, we throw something on someone else. We make someone else responsible for our burdens. So who can carry our burdens? Does this mean that I cast things onto my wife, for example? Hey, we have a daughter. She's in need. I'm going to cast it on you. Who can carry our burdens? Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Listen to the words of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can Jesus say that? He talks about yokes and burdens. And so when we think of a yoke, we think of an ox, right? Wearing a yoke, pulling something heavy. If we imagine a burden, then maybe a mule carrying a heavy burden. How can a yoke and a burden be light? When we think of yokes and burdens, we think of hard work, right? What yoke is Jesus talking about? Jesus says, come to me. So the invitation is to us. He doesn't say, come to religion. Come to a spiritual experience. Come to spirituality. He says, come to me. It's personal. He says, all who labor and are heavy laden. And here, we'll just get technical for a moment because it's important. Are heavy laden. The Greek language uses three voices, the active, the passive, and the middle. So what would it be here? What would Jesus be saying? Would he be saying, come to me, all you who burden others? That's the active. Is that what he's saying? Come to me, all you who burden others. Or would it be the passive? Come to me, all you who are burdened. Or would he be using the middle voice? Come to me, all you who have overburdened yourselves. Which one would you pick? What do you think? Jesus is saying, all you who labor and have overburdened yourselves. You see, we carry things that the Lord doesn't expect us to carry. Or we carry them in a way that the Lord doesn't expect us to carry them. We overburden ourselves. What does Jesus offer us? Us overburdened people that are overburdening themselves. What does Jesus offer us? He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus offers rest. Rest for our looping thoughts, those questions, those doubts, those negative anxieties, those stresses. He literally says, I will rest you. So what that means is that Jesus engages personally in resting us. He doesn't come up to us and put a vacation package on our laps. Hey, disciples, I've got rest for you. 5 days floating on the Dead Sea. So escape the grind for 5 days and then come back to the grind. He doesn't say, hey, 3 days in the forests of Lebanon. Go rest for a while and then come back. Or go windsurf on the Sea of Galilee, something like that. No, he talks about resting us in everyday life. Not running from our families, not running from the workplace, not running from our neighborhood. No, resting us right where we are. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Come to me. I won't ridicule you. I won't berate you. I won't belittle you. Take my yoke. So what is it? What do you think it is? What is Jesus' yoke? That's the billion-dollar question, right? What is it? It's light. The yoke's easy, the burden is light. What is it?
his yoke.
It's something that he himself wears. So just think about the life of Jesus for a minute. We know that Jesus was fully God and also fully man. So as a man, as the Messiah, what do you think his life was like? So the crowds, they come demanding revelation. They come demanding healing. The religious leaders, they want proof. They want signs. They come to engage in arguments with him. They want to trip him up. They even want to kill him. How could Jesus say, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light"? The demonic shows up, taunting him, tempting him, trying to distract him, trying to place their yoke on him. Even his disciples, they have all kinds of demands and expectations. Jesus says, "Take my yoke and learn from me. I'll teach you how to do this. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Well, what is it? Look at verses 25 through 27. We need to read the context. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the yoke that Jesus is offering, his yoke, is his relationship with the Father. We just sang, "Good, good Father." Jesus invited his disciples into that relationship with the Father, to experience the same intimacy with the Father that he experienced. His yoke was easy, his burden was light, because he did everything in communion with the Father, everything by the power of the Spirit. That is the astounding invitation that Jesus offers to us as his disciples, that we are enabled, we are allowed, we are permitted to enter into the intimacy of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we can live life in communion with God, yoked only by him. And when we're under that yoke, we're free of all the yokes that we might place on ourselves or that others might want to place on us. Yoked by the Father. Why would Jesus offer that yoke to his disciples? Well, he knows his Father. He delights in his Father. He knows that his Father is good. He knows that his Father is worthy of trust. He prays to his Father. He communes with his Father. The text here says that something is hidden, and that what is hidden is for little children. The only one who can reveal what is hidden is the Son. The only one who can reveal the Father to us is Jesus. But we must come as little children. And of course, little children are humble. That's why Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may, at the proper time, exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him." Why? Because he cares for you. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God because he cares for us. The Father is personally concerned for you. You matter to him. He constantly cares for you. He is not cruel. He is not apathetic. He's not indifferent, unaware, unconcerned. No, he cares for you. That's the good news. He's steadfast in his love, ever faithful, gracious in his will, also mighty. Not just good, but mighty and able to save, able to deliver, able to heal. So why do we worry? Well, we worry because we are sometimes proud. because we take our concerns upon ourselves. We're convinced that we need to solve our own problems and the problems of those we love. We have this tendency to be self-sufficient, to go our way on our own, to not depend on others. And what did Jesus say about worrying? What did he say about the cares of the world? He said that the cares of the world actually choke out the word of God. And so what we remain with is our own words, looping around in our minds. You see, our society has taught us to live on our own. That's the way we're educated. We're educated to do things on our own. We're told that a creator actually does not exist. And so we're educated to independently try to be the gods who are in control of things, but the truth is that we are completely incapable of controlling life, and so we live with ever increasing levels of anxiety. If there is any anxiety within me, if there is a tendency to worry, you see, the root of anxiety is unbelief. And so if I am anxious, if I am worried, that negative form of anxiety, of stress, there is something within me that is declaring, I really don't believe that God is present and that he really cares. I don't really believe that he hears. Or as we just sang a few minutes ago, that before I even ask, the Lord knows. The Father is so good, he knows what I need. The root of anxiety is unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about entering the rest of God. Talks about the people of Israel, what they experienced in the wilderness. Listen to these verses. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So those people that left Egypt, that were freed from slavery, those people that came under the mighty hand of God and were delivered, then in the wilderness chose not to believe. And that is why they did not enter the promised land. Unbelief. So we need to ask ourselves, do we truly believe? And have we done what the Lord has invited us to do? In our text today, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, God asks us to do two things that we can all do. One, humble ourselves before him, surrender ourselves completely to him, and two, cast all our anxieties on him. Exchange our care for his care. We are to cast it out of reach. Now, unfortunately, quite often we cast, but we leave a string tied to it. And so we cast it on the Lord, and then we slowly pull it back, start carrying it again. For facing anxieties today, we need to ask ourselves two questions. And the two questions are not, where is God and how am I going to handle this? The questions are, have I truly humbled myself before God? And have I cast all, not some, but all of my anxieties on him? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, Peter says, because one, God can save you, he can help you. Two, he really cares. Amen. He cares for you. Let's take a moment just to reflect. Let's stand for prayer. I just want to take a moment of silence and ask the Lord this question. Lord, have I humbled myself before you? Have I surrendered everything to you, Lord? The Lord invites you to humble yourself before him. And then ask the Lord, Lord, what do I need to cast on you? Lord, what are the anxieties, the stresses that I carry that you would have me cast on you? It may be your studies, your career, your work, your family. You may need to repent for unbelief. Lord, thank you that you don't belittle us as we come to you. You're gentle, you're lowly in heart. Thank you that you do not berate us or ridicule us. Maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe if you did that today, it would be the first time. And when you think of your life apart from God, you want relationship with him. When you think of the weight of your sin, you want forgiveness. Maybe you live under shame and you look for love. Maybe you're afraid and you want the security of love. You're anxious and you want peace. Well, you need to hear the good news of Jesus. The Father truly loves you. He sent Jesus. Jesus went to the cross and died for you and took your sin upon himself. He did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And what the Lord invites you to do is to come to him, to humble yourself, to admit that you need a Savior, to turn from sin. The Lord is present to remove your guilt, to remove your shame, to give you a new identity, to have you know that you're unconditionally loved and accepted by him. He's present to remove your fear, to give you a reason to live, a purpose to live. Every person can do that. Every person can surrender to Jesus and invite him to be Savior and Lord. So if that's your desire today, if you want to do that for the first time, I invite you to pray this prayer that I'll read. It'll be on the screen in front of you if you want to read it. God, I desire to know you personally. Please forgive me for leading my own life and rejecting your love. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross and paying the price for all my sin. I ask you to forgive my sins. Jesus, lead me from this day forward. Fill me with your Spirit. Set me free. Make me into the kind of person you created me to be. Thank you, God, for adopting me into your family and gifting me with eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, feel free to come forward for conversation or go to the Welcome Center. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend.